Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast. It is the first day of November and we're back from our week, which we didn't podcast or write. Well, no, I guess I did write some
things. We actually wrote a lot, but not necessarily for...
Not for the internet. And we're covered in very, very needy animals.
Yeah, I mean, I guess no one like actually... pet them or something while we were
talking. No, they're just completely... I can't believe that. I think they're lying to us. I think they were constantly being taken care of.
They're telling us that they weren't, though. That seems to be their...
I basically have had a cat sleeping on my face for many, many hours. And I realized being away from all these...
Not a small cat.
An enormously fat cat. That maybe I am allergic to cats because being away for a week... I started to breathe freely, but it may be that having a cat sleep on my nose and mouth every night is causing some of the congestion that I have all the time. Didn't occur to me, but she's very... And the weird thing is that... I'm just going to talk about my cat. That's not the weird thing. The weird thing is that most cats I've had, if you go away for a few days, they punish you for... like double the time that you are gone, you know, they will not just for walk. You can't just walk into your own house and say hi. They need you to repent for a while. But this cat just was delighted. It came and sat on my face for a long, more than usual. And now she's like sitting on top of the dog. So the sound of the growling is mingling with the sound of the purring.
Our dog is like Dachshunds are made to like, or whatever it is, burrow. And so our dog comes in the morning and just burrows under our covers.
And now that,
so I don't see how he breathes down there. I don't
know, because there's an enormous cat sitting on top of him. It's really great. That's not what we were going to talk about today. But yeah. I could go on and tell you about it each. No, I won't do that. Happy Halloween. No, happy All Saints Day.
All Saints Day. Yeah, yesterday was Reformation Day, which this is the first time. We should do it this week. We should remove.
We'd have a week of the Reformation.
Yeah, because we were so busy doing all of this stuff that usually we have a Reformation feast where we like have a meal representing one aspect of the Reformation.
So one country.
Yes, we had the Swiss Reformation, we had fondue.
Yeah.
The German Reformation, of course, is sausages and
potatoes.
Sauerkraut. Have we done the English Reformation? We should have like shepherd's pie or something, or like some meat pie of some sort.
English, yeah, that's a good idea. English people eat a lot of meat pie.
Or we could open a tin and...
Let's do the Barbara Pym Reformation feast. A lettuce leaf, some aspic.
And the Reformation, the French had a Reformation too, so like we can have.
Oh yeah.
I mean, really, every
that would be delicious.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only place that didn't have a Reformation is Spain and and Italy, but.
Yeah, Italy did not have
quite the Reformation. But, they had some people in there, but they quickly dispatched them.
We eat pasta all the time, yeah. So. We don't need that.
Right.
Whereas fondue is not a thing that we eat very much.
We should either do fondue or do an English meat pie.
Yeah. Well, I'll get right on
that.
Go
back to Switzerland or do the French. I mean, we can do anything. I mean, we can tell your mother to do it. Ask your mother to make it.
Tell her.
Ask
her. It's your, you said tell her.
I meant ask.
You meant ask nicely. Yeah.
Yes.
So... You already talked about the Reformation, though, on Stand Firm, so...
Yeah, they should go listen to that.
Do you have anything else you wanted to say about the Reformation?
It was kind of an interesting thing, this one. I was looking to see who wrote it, but... somebody asked a question this morning on Facebook whether or not the reason... Or one reason, anyway, not the reason, but one reason that Protestants convert... to Roman Catholicism is that they have in their minds this dichotomy between memorialism, like just the Eucharist is nothing but like a a word picture for Jesus. You drink your Kool-Aid and you eat your cracker and you think about Jesus and that's it.
Juice,
right. And then of course you really feed on Jesus in the Catholic, Roman Catholic understanding of the idea of the Eucharist. So if people are saying if that's the idea people have in their head, that dichotomy, then of course it's kind of more attractive. The Roman view is more attractive than
being slightly richer.
a little
bit more depth. Right.
But his person was saying if Anglicans and Lutherans and Presbyterians were really emphasized that we do really feed on Christ and at the table, then maybe there would be it would allay that.
Maybe Nazar Ali wouldn't have gone over.
Here's no excuse for him. He knew. He knows very well what we do
about the Eucharist.
But I mean, just the average person who goes to Roman Catholic often does so because they have a truncated view of what Reformed people think about things like that. And I actually think Anglicanism is the antidote to that. If it's proclaimed boldly. But.
Well, you should get right on that.
Yep,
then
I'll do that.
Actually, you have preached about.
Yeah, I have. I've added that more. So, I mean, I realized that part of I didn't in the first part because I was worried that I would communicate to people I was worried that the Eucharist might be conceived. If I say things like real presence, people might think transubstantiation because that's the only category people have in their heads. Or often the only category people have in their heads. So I've avoided it, but I've over the last 2 or 3 years, I haven't. And we just had someone go back to the Baptist church.
It didn't go well. Maybe so. That's well. Maybe, it's yeah, crippling. Yeah. The crippling fear, either way, is definitely the way to go. I remember when I first started blogging at Patheos, I launched right in and did a series on the Reformation leading up to. I can't remember why I did that, and I feel like I made people mad, but I can't remember why.
You did. I saw one of your articles this morning. I was googling Reformation. Articles and I saw one of yours pop up.
Oh.
And you were.
Was I being mean?
He's like, no, it's from 2000. It wasn't when you first started blogging. That was like from 2015, and you were being mean, but you were saying, "Stop being mad at me for liking Reformation Day."
That's right.
Because people do get up, even Anglicans get upset when you actually celebrate the Reformation because they think of it as a schism, as some kind of break in the church. But you know, of course, we would say, no, it wasn't a break in the church; it was a Reformation.
We reformed,
but reforming it to what it always has been.
Yeah. Well, that seems like small potatoes back now that we have these modern latter-day times where fighting about the Reformation, that's so mild given all the other things we could fight about.
There are other things we could fight about that are more, I guess,
more
striking.
Yeah. So
maybe we should give an update about what we've done and where we've been.
I guess we could do that. Do you think people?
I'm sure they care.
Do you think the listener cares?
Of course they care. What else do they have going on in their lives? I wonder what Matt and Ann did this last week. They didn't podcast. So I mean,
they must have been doing something really important.
Yeah.
I think we didn't podcast because we couldn't figure out how to.
We couldn't have posted it though. We didn't have the
That's right.
Equipment to post it.
Because everything is on different computers. There's like many, many different computers and everyone has its own particular thing and nothing can be all on one machine at all.
Right.
So.
And we just got, Sunday, last Sunday, we'd gotten on an airplane at 7 p.m. and flew down to Cocoa Beach for our clergy retreat. We got in there, what did we get in at, like 11 or something, 11:30? No, we actually got to the hotel by 1, I think, in the morning. We had to drive from the airport to the hotel. So, yeah, we weren't going to get up on Monday morning. And
we were late that day for the clergy retreat. Yeah. And then we were late the second day because we were still really tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember why we could not get on. I'm normally a very on-time person. And I couldn't move fast enough to get anywhere.
Yeah.
So the clergy retreat was really nice.
It was. It was very nice. Sometimes the retreats are overscheduled.
I don't think you should say things like that.
I'm not saying about anyone overscheduling anything. I'm just saying it. I'm speaking in a passive,
like many retreats that exist in the world.
And I'm talking about retreats in the world. Yeah, exactly. So sometimes retreats, when they're scheduled by extroverts, are overscheduled because for the extrovert, you know, the more you're around lots of people, the better it is. And if you can go to somewhere, to a retreat and just be around people all the time from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., you come away like
very happy.
Very happy. But for everyone else in the world who hates you.
Don't you think that the population is evenly divided between introvert and extrovert?
No, I think there's probably more introverts actually, but the extroverts run things because introverts don't want to run things.
That sounds like a conspiracy theory. Or something.
I'm convinced I'm true. So extroverts run things, and they always want to do social events, right? We'll have a party here. We'll have a get together there. We'll have a social. We'll have just a sit around and eat hors d'oeuvres and make small talk there. And that makes every extrovert in the world happy. Like makes them glow. But every introvert like just is shrinking away, and you can't.
But the introverts go to these things.
We have to. Like I'm a pastor. I like people.
Really?
It
sounds like you don't
sense.
Really.
I do. I do. I love.
You want the real presence of your congregation.
I love the people that I serve.
Actually, you'd really like it to be a memorializing, like.
I know. I love being. I actually have enjoyed being around people more often lately. But it's just because I'm
being sanctified.
Probably because I'm being sanctified, but it's. I don't know. I don't like small talk. I don't know how to make small talk. If that's the thing, it's always, but extroverts don't even have, I don't know what they don't have a problem with that. They just walk into a crowd and just start, you know, talking, and it's no problem. I'm just,
I feel like you have a lot of, you know, energy around this issue more than I do.
And I've developed strategies, and you just ask questions about people and you sit back and they talk and you can sit back and not say anything for a while.
Well,
but anyway, yeah. So, how did we get on that topic?
You started to complain.
Retreats being designed by extroverts, right? That's those are the people who design these things. So anyway, but this retreat was crafted for introverts. It seems like, because you only had,
well, there was a good balance.
There was a great balance. We had all morning. You had to be there, but they were taken up by things you didn't have to really interact with. You had morning prayer, then a talk or a sermon. And then too long of a break, I think. It was like a 30-minute break where you had to do small talk. But then
I needed the break so I could go and eat all the food at the table.
Right, but they could have, like, I don't know, passed it out to us in our seats.
No, no.
And said, we will now have 30 minutes of silence. And then we had...
No one wanted 30 minutes of silence sitting. Nobody but you wanted that.
And then...
I don't agree that everyone is really an introvert.
And then came the speaker, and then came lunch. And then we had free time after that. It was amazing. That free from lunch until whenever. I guess you could come back for a free dinner if you wanted to, but you didn't have to. From lunch until dinner, totally free.
Well, it gave us time to do the work that God had given us to do.
Right. Because we'd been so busy leading up to the retreat that we were going to be retreated as victims rather than leaders.
Perpetrators.
We were victims of the first retreat, but we were perpetrators of the next retreat. we hadn't quite gotten all of our talks done, which is code for we hadn't done any of our talks.
That's not true. I had a full talk going.
I knew what I wanted to say, but I hadn't actually put things on paper. So we had that gave us the afternoons to do that.
We spent several months talking back and forth about what we wanted to say.
It wasn't ill prepared. It wasn't ill thought out. It was ill. We just didn't have time to put it in the paper until we left. So we got to go to Louisville for the next retreat. Oh, wait, before we go on, we should talk about the two things about the Cocoa Beach Retreat.
The beach?
The ADL, Anglican Diocese of the Living Word, or the Anglican Diocese of the...
No, DL, yeah, DLW from my childhood. We had a well, mm-hmm. and the lizard died in the well. And we didn't know for a long time why the water tasted so strange until somebody climbed down into the well and found that there was a dead lizard and took it out. And then it was even many months after that that we eventually had better water. But the water in our household for many years was called DLW, dead lizard water. And for whatever reason, God in his sovereignty ordained that our Diocese of the Living Word would also have the acronym DLW.
That's right.
So it is hard every time you say DLW not to think dead lizard water.
Right. Yeah. But that.
But it's not.
It's not. That's not what
it's means. Diocese of the right, Living right. Word. So, they should have added the O in D-O.
To make things clear.
L-W.
So we, the great thing was that it ended with the Eucharist, and Ife preached a great sermon. I don't know how he managed to do it in 10 minutes, but he managed to do it great, because the bishop is very... He's not going to give you all the time that you actually need to exposit the text so thoroughly. But you have... So you basically have to preach a homily or a thought on a text. But Ife did a great... Really good job. I was really impressed and very proud of not proud of my
spot. Well, you totally were. Right. And somebody leaned over and said to you or me, good job.
Sorry, like, I didn't do that.
You did. You can totally take credit for how wonderful you pay is. Just go ahead.
Because I'm like, there's God and then there's me.
And then there's those people whom you have brought along. No, it's very gratifying to, as they say, invest in someone for many years and pray for them and then have them wonderful.
Yeah.
Of course, it's fine if you invest in someone and they totally shipwreck. I mean, that's
fine too, but well, that's not fine, but it's
I mean, it's, you can really do whatever you want to do.
It's not necessarily your fault.
It's just anybody can just do whatever they want, but.
So then we, the last, that was the first thing I wanted to mention, but the last day of the retreat, I don't know why we just didn't look for it. We didn't look for a way to the beach.
Because you hate the beach. I do. That's why. And I had to push, because we would have just kept walking through neighborhoods endlessly.
If it weren't for the sand and the salt water, I mean, if it was like.
Wait, you know, no water, no sand?
And the lack of shade. Like, there's no shade in the beach, unless you're in Hawaii and the trees come right up to the seashore. But even then, you'd have to deal with the sand and the salt water. And the extreme heat.
That's so what people like about it.
I despise all three of those things. So I wouldn't want to be there. And the beach. I mean, that's why I grew up near a beach. I liked it when I was a kid, but it's too much. So anyway, but I do like it. Like we managed to find a place. All week we hadn't gone out there. We hadn't looked for a way to get to the beach. But in the morning, like at 6 something or other, we were walking. We went out. We found the way to the beach and we approached it just as the sun was starting to come up, and we'll post some pictures. It was one of the most beautiful sunrises I've ever seen in my life. I mean, and I was raised in Corpus Christi on the coast. So sunrises are something I saw all my life. This is one of the more beautiful ones I've seen.
Is that, could that be why people move to this place on purpose?
Maybe. I don't know, but it was just gorgeous. If that's the usual thing, it may not be a usual thing. It was going to rain later on that day, so that's why it was kind of really red. And it was like luridly red.
I know. I would have said that this was one of those ones there. I felt like God overdoes it. You know, like
bad taste.
Yeah. But the colors went.
Well, it's fine, but then God, again, it's not that he does it bad taste. It's like when people try to paint it or copy it, then it's...
Then it goes horribly wrong.
Yeah. And then people are...
People shouldn't paint.
People shouldn't paint that. You should just look at it, because God manages to do it in such a way.
And then even the camera can't quite capture the...
Yeah, so we're going to put these pictures up and it's going to look...
It's not going to look like it should.
Right. Right.
Well, so that was nice.
It was nice. And then we went, and see, we were wearing shoes. For the most part, walked where the sand didn't stick on you because we were.
I feel like you're being a real baby right now.
Why would you want to sit? People see people sitting in the sand with like these little small umbrellas over them, and the salt and the dirt and it's you're sitting in the dirt.
It's really nice to go to the beach.
It's not.
It just really is. It's very restful and soothing to sit by, go in the water and sit in the sand and be.
It's exhausting.
Exfoliated. And dirty. No. Well, I need to go there without you. Yeah. The children and I will go alone, and you can stay.
Yeah.
Well. In your room by yourself. So that was retreat number one. So then we had, you can't just have one retreat. You have to have a second retreat.
We've had our one retreat. This one, we were the perpetrators, so we don't know quite as well how that one went, the second one went.
I really like Louisville, though. This is my third time to go, and it seems like such an interesting town. I would really like to go sometime and wander around, and it seems, it's so wooded. It seems like such an interesting place to be. And interesting neighborhoods. I don't have time for this kind of thing in my life. But actually, if I had to choose between a holiday and it was either Cocoa Beach or Louisville, I'd probably go to Louisville.
Right.
Because Cocoa Beach had the beach.
Right.
But the strip felt like it, like driving down the road, it felt like driving as if Walmart had been extrapolated to a whole street. And that's what it felt, wandering around looking for things.
The strip we've talked about before, it was much longer, though, than most strips.
Because it went the whole length of the entire coast.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm sure there must be parts of Cocoa Beach that aren't like that, but we never have found them.
Yeah.
Whereas Louisville, you dive right in, and the neighborhoods are really interesting, and they have these long houses that apparently, if you shot a gun, the bullet would just go straight through the whole house.
Because it's flat.
I was
okay. One more thing about Cocoa Beach. That was the mythical home of Aggie Regini. That's where Captain Nelson was.
I never really
stationed
watched
as
that
an astronaut.
And until that's you where, and then he began to describe
the
it
the bottle me. With Genie in it, and
she had to call him Master.
Yeah.
It's so appalling when you say it like that.
I love that show. Genie was awesome. I had a real crush on her for years.
I mean, that's kids. Just really shocking.
Well, she did. She wore like this Genie outfit, right? And she's really pretty. And she called him Master. So.
You shouldn't admit that kind of thing. That's just,
Right. But then, and then
neighborhood was exactly like that.
Yeah, the neighborhood's like walking in the neighborhood running that show because it looked like. So, okay.
So you've had your full childhood
relived
both the beach and the Genie. That's terrible. Yeah. Well, I would like to go back to Louisville sometime. I think I only go there whenever I'm talking, but
we got to see the neighborhood because Lannon, who asked us to,
he drove us around.
He's the one who invited us to inflict his congregation with our talks, and they.
To perpetrate a retreat.
So he took us to this really, really nice restaurant in some part of some neighborhood in Louisville. It was super
well you know, that done. That restaurant reminded me of the one that we have here that isn't like they are obviously trying to approximate that restaurant. And they don't do terribly, but it's not quite the same.
You mean the Louisville restaurant's trying to approximate our restaurant?
No, the other way.
Because everyone wants, there's that world-class restaurant being empty that everyone's trying to copy around the world. No, but you're right. It does seem like it. This is a classic kind of restaurant that other restaurants try to
pull off. And ours is nice, but it didn't quite get there.
Right, right.
So, not that I'm unwilling to go to our local one, you know, given the chance. Of course, I would go, but it was really nice.
Yeah.
I had lamb and a really, really divine amount of potato, which I worked through stolidly, even though I know I shouldn't. I should have just forewent the potato, but I didn't because it was so glorious.
We both ate like terribly on this particular trip. I mean, we ate well, but we ate like diet-wise.
In a bad...
Things we shouldn't have eaten, we ate.
Yeah.
And having knowing that, I should have there was donuts on the morning of the last day of the retreat, and I should have
eaten
the donut. But I thought, oh no, I don't.
I don't eat donuts. But then later, as the day went on, you thought I should have had a donut
because I ate everything else. I ate like French fries and whatever was there. So anyway, the donuts are the bane of my existence. Donuts will, if I see a box of donuts in front of me, I can't just eat one donut. I barrel through the whole thing.
That's true. No one else would have had a donut if you'd eaten one.
Right.
Well, so, that's.
But it was the congregation, people from St. Francis Episcopal formed this.
Grace Anglican,
about 2 years ago, 3 years ago. And it's, I guess, technically a church plant, but it's not really a church plant because it's people from that old St. Francis who left because of just some horrible things that were going on in St. Francis, and became an ACMA congregation, which is now growing, doing really well, and Nick's doing a great job, and they have great people there, really, really wonderful church. So if you're in Louisville, that's where you go to look up Grace Anglican and go there.
We can say the name of the church because it's Anglican and we don't feel competitive. It's really...
Yeah, I mean, if they were in Binghamton, I would say...
not telling you the name of this church. That's terrible. You are wicked.
Yeah.
Wicked person.
But anyway, it was a great church. And you never know who knows how we did, but we talked about failure and Jesus.
And so...
Yeah.
It's our wheelhouse.
Apparently, at some point, the talks will be available, and we can.
We'll be able to link them, right. But not until you think of titles for them all.
Oh right, I forgot. I told Nick I'd do that.
So, but then we came back to our house, which was sort of picked up after I threatened the children on the phone, day after day. I think they totally trashed our house while we were gone, and then they picked it up on Saturday as best they could, but
you could smell it walking. You could smell
they like didn't the, change. They like didn't the, do the kitty litter. The
lingering scent of the cat.
Because they just didn't. That's why the cats were so happy to see us.
Because they weren't taken care of for a whole week.
Yeah. So.
But you know, it is different coming home to a 19 in to a home in which 19 and a 19 year old and a 17 year old have been overseeing for a whole week. But they're homeschooled kids who are Christians versus my father and mother coming home when I was 19 or 17 after I'd been watching the house for a week. I mean, I didn't have to worry about like someone passed out under. I mean, there were no bodies anywhere in the house.
You didn't. They didn't have an orgy party while we were gone. That's true. They did their schoolwork. They did have a lot of technical issues, and I think they missed a couple of assignments turned in because I was not on top of them, so that was bad. They were writing a lot of apology emails to teachers, but
I mean, I went and looked at my none of my whiskey was gone. The scotch was still there, untouched. I mean, the levels are exactly where they were. I didn't mark them, but
you should.
And I had a little bit last night just to see if there, and it wasn't watered down. Like,
did you what?
Yeah.
Oh, like you drink it and then you add water so it looks the same.
It works really well with vodka because vodka looks like water anyway. But at some point, they'll figure it out because it tastes like water. if someone knows their whiskey very well, you can't do it. You shouldn't do it with whiskey, but you can do it with vodka.
I hope our children are not listening to this podcast.
right.
That's
you just replace it. You just replace.
That's really shocking. I would never have thought of that.
Yeah, well,
Did you learn that on I Dream of Jeannie?
No, I learned that as a 16-year-old. Or something.
That's really interesting. Well, I did get these talks done, and I also finished reading The Divine Institution, which I wanted to know where my medal was. So, and I listened to a ton of I'm not quite done with Revoice, but I listened to a lot of that. So it was really nice for me to get away and have some time to read and think and write. Like I was able to write these talks. I think I'm always frustrated. I love my children and my house, but I'm in a constant state of frustration because I am interrupted so much. Even when I say, I need you to leave me alone for the next 2 hours, it just doesn't exist. And so I'm always battling the distractions or the interruptions, really.
Right.
They come with having a sustained thought. And so that was really helpful to just have time to listen to something without having to pause it 500 times read more than one page
or write more than one paragraph.
One paragraph. That was great.
Yeah, I have to say it was I don't think that we could have produced the talks we did if we were here in 1 week. But having that time,
having a whole afternoon or I wish that I could have something like that while I'm here. Like, I don't know, maybe I should go away sometimes, because then I don't think I would be frustrated all the time and irritated all the time. And I also, the other thing I loved is I talked to many people. I was on the phone with my children, arguing with them about the level of cleanliness that I required when I came home, or what they should be doing. They would call me and complain about each other. And and I would get off the phone, and I was not filled with deep love for my children while I was gone, or even missing them at all. Yeah. And some of the people at the second retreat told me, I was really thrilled about this. They said the empty nesters, they were like, yeah, we really love our kids. We love seeing them. We miss them. But when they leave your house, you miss them for maybe 5 minutes. And then your whole world opens up and you begin to live your best life. And I was so thrilled to hear that, because I've been feeling guilty about how much I was wishing that they would
go away,
move along, move along with their lives, because they're all adults. And so it's not like having...
Well, back in ye old, olden days, they would have been married. We only have one left by now, probably, or two.
Two.
Because
that's true.
Our 10 and 12-year-old, the rest would be married off by now.
Yeah.
That's
why we're feeling, and they're good. They're respectful and contributing and basically kind, but it's like living in a house, a college house or something, which I never enjoyed.
Yeah.
Having piles of roommates, where you have to jostle for the kitchen and figure out who's doing what. And nobody, everybody theoretically should have their own space, but, So I feel seen and heard and maybe there's going to be light at the end of the tunnel.
The thing I dread, though, is the taxes. Like, when the kids go away, everything changes as far as our taxes go and healthcare goes. We'll make more money, but we'll also pay more money.
We're going to be exactly where we are now, probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is fine, because God wants us to be poor. That's how it should be. So, yeah. It's nice to be back, though.
Yeah.
And I did miss my cat. And now I can start in on all the work that I didn't do while I was gone.
Yeah.
Which is so much work. I do feel like I'm living under a possible avalanche of work all the time, trying to keep all the bricks in the wall so that I'm not swept away by a flood, but that's not going to happen. So,
yeah, I've got lots of work to do.
I'm going to be reading Rachel Held Evans' posthumously done book. I got a pre-order copy, so it should be delivered to my Kindle.
People are not going
to
be happy
tomorrow.
With you when you finish that.
No, so I'm actually shelving the Divine. I'm going to make my notes on the Divine Institution, but I'm not going to write it up right now. I'm going to do Rachel Held Evans first, and
I'm interested to see how that book will be received by quote unquote elite evangelical world.
Yeah, because there's no gain anymore to criticize her.
She's sainted.
She's been sainted.
By death.
So it's hard for me to understand why God would do that, but of course I don't understand God at all.
God didn't do that.
Well, would allow her to perish or die, whatever it's called.
I don't think that was good for her. I don't think that was good for her unless she repented.
Well, I pray that she did.
Me too. But I'm saying otherwise it wasn't a good thing for her.
I know, but God orders all of everything. Like, I don't know why he would make it so that she could be sainted, but...
Oh, I think that just shows how horribly bad the church has become. And the evangelical world has become. I mean, that she can openly be the heretic and people laud her and think of her as a saint when she dies is crazy.
Yeah.
And then when this comes out, I'm telling you, I bet the usual suspects will be all agog and...
I don't think I'm going to endear myself to the world any more than I did any time this past year, year and this year. I have squandered all my political capital or whatever, writing capital,
right,
theological capital. But that's fine.
Right.
So
we're just going to keep squandering it.
Yeah. Without amassing any more.
Yeah.
No more privilege or platform or whatever it's called
Right.
Anyway. Well, I feel like we should move along because...
Yeah, it's a short one. But, you know, and we have been derelict in our podcasting duties. But I, for one, have decided that I'm going to recommit myself to the podcasting.
Really?
Yeah. We should make...
We close the window and the baby cat keeps running up the stairs to leap and onto the windowsill. And then he keeps banging his head.
Yeah, problem is he's not a baby cat anymore. It's time for him to be
changed.
And boy, hopefully we can do this tomorrow.
I know. We're gonna pray to God.
He is going to have a major personality change.
I hope so. I don't think it comes that quickly, but
he's suddenly going to be the cat we always wish he would be.
Why are you going to recommit yourself to the? Here's my problem with our podcasting efforts. I feel like I've said everything. And now I'm saying everything again. We've been doing this for a long time.
But it's just I think people just need to hear us say it.
What?
I think people just need this without us saying it again. They're going to forget that we said it.
Oh man, it's going to be. That's just. I find that to be.
It's like we're like the Apostle Peter.
A little bit crushing.
I don't find it difficult. This is not a problem for me to remind you of these things. I keep telling you this, in other words, and I'm going to keep telling you this. So people just really need to hear our thoughts about everything over and over again.
I don't believe that at all. I feel like my thoughts about things have, maybe they were interesting the first, maybe even the second time, but.
I think the problem came with, like, we started to bore ourselves too. So we didn't make it. It's one thing to bore other people. When you start boring yourself, then you got a problem.
So if we're going to recommit ourselves and our lives to the podcast, then something has to happen so that I don't feel like I'm, just pushing that stone up the mountain and being crushed as it goes back down. I can't remember who did that.
Is that Prometheus or is that someone else?
Sisyphus.
Sorry, that's right.
Who was it that had his liver eaten out every night? Is it the same guy? My classical education did not come into being at any point.
Yeah. I think I'd rather be the guy with rolling the ball up the mountain rather than the guy having his liver eaten. Or maybe it's the same person?
It's really the same person. Yeah. You don't get to pick. You get to have both. People have sent me, and that's bad because I kind of lost track of them. I have a couple of preacher clips that someone sent me that we could do in the weeks coming up. And people need.
We had this thing going for a while. We were reviewing sermons. We should probably do that. Maybe some more of that.
But, in the last year, the sermons, everything has gotten so weird, and bad. And the sermons have gone way, when there's a reference point or you can kind of tease through something or it's funny. But when people just stand up and say crazy stuff, you feel kind of weird
Yeah, like what do you say?
Yeah, like, this is really bad.
Obviously horrible. There's not much.
Don't say any of these things.
Yeah, yeah. How do you make it?
Yeah. So, well, now we've really gone 40 minutes, so we've got to go on with our day. Thank you so much for listening, and we I guess we will definitely be back next week.
Right.